for all of your Wisconsin Badgers news from the recruiting trail, on the field, and near the rim.
This is the Badger Blitz Podcast.
If you want to be a Badger, just come along with me by the bright shiny light of the moon.
On Overtime Media.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, of course, powered by Overtime Media. This is Jake Kokorowski, senior writer, along with John McNamara, editor and recruiting analyst, and we have a lot to get to, football and basketball, and for that latter part, we'll dive into the red-white scrimmage. Some of the highlights that I saw at the Kohl Center today, and I was down there also on Friday for Media Day, so it's been a busy weekend because why? I was also down in, of course, at Camp Randall Stadium on Saturday. Wisconsin Badgers, 38-0 over the Michigan State Spartans. And we're going to talk some recruiting. We're going to talk some highlights of the game. And, of course, John and I are in the Vivid Seats studio. Make sure, folks, to use promo code OVERTIME in the Vivid Seats mobile app to save up to $100 on all ticket purchases. Of course, first-time customers only. And quite frankly, you probably find some of those seats for Wisconsin, Illinois coming up next week down in Champaign if you want to head down to that part of Illinois. Anyways, John, another impressive display. I think you and I both did not predict that type of game, but 38-0, a defensive performance again for, I don't know if I say the ages, but just another dominant, overwhelming, suffocating defensive performance by Wisconsin. And then on the opposite side, even when they bottle up Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin still gets the ball moving. Jack Cohn still makes the key passes, and Wisconsin comes away with its second cross-divisional win of the season.
Yeah, like you said, Jake, I did not see this type of lopsided win coming. And, when you bottle up Jonathan Taylor about as well as you can, even though he found the end zone twice, that certainly left some opportunities for some other guys. And, when we talked this past week, we thought that Jake Ferguson could have a big game, partly because we talked to the guys from the Spartans rivals.com site, and they said that, maybe that's a spot where Wisconsin can exploit. And I think Ferguson had a very good game. And like you mentioned too, Jack Cohn, 18 of 21, no interceptions, one touchdown pass. He was very good too. So yeah, I think that talks to, that well-balanced offense that has been mentioned before. You've talked about it a little bit. If you can, contain Jonathan Taylor as much as you can contain him, Wisconsin can beat you in a lot of other ways, with what they can do on offense and just how stout that defense is. So, it's a great win, against, I think, a pretty good opponent, even though obviously the, Michigan State's scuffling a little bit after back-to-back losses. But it's a great win, and you're going to Illinois, and then obviously everyone's looking ahead to Ohio State in 2 weeks. So, it's an exciting time for Wisconsin. We've talked about special season potential, and Wisconsin certainly appears to be on the cusp of that.
Let's look at the takeaways for this game, as we always do the day after the dust settles. Not really instant reactions. It's more looking at the stat book, looking at Pro Football Focus grades. What was your main takeaway, what you saw out of that offense?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was the job that Michigan State was able to do against Jonathan Taylor. 26 attempts for 85 yards, or I should say 80 yards and two touchdowns. That's a pretty good job against the nation's top tailback, and credit the Michigan State defense on that part. But obviously, when you lose and you get shut out like that, you leave a lot of other opportunities on the field, like we talked about. So I thought they did a good job against Taylor, but Wisconsin found other ways to move the football really at ease throughout the game. So that was my biggest takeaway, looking at what they were able to do against Jonathan Taylor, but obviously they'll take a performance like that from Taylor any day if it ends in a result that it happened against Michigan State on Saturday.
Right. 80 yards, 26 carries, two touchdowns, but he also had three receptions for 22 yards on the flip side as well. So on the receiving end, so that, you know, over 100 yards all purpose and still made his presence felt there. A couple of first down throws from Jack Cohn to Taylor, which helped out with second and short opportunities. And he's my takeaway. Jack Cohn is, it is a, we knew that Michigan State coming in averaged just about 100 yards allowed on the ground. And next thing you know, we talked about it. Will Jack Cohn need to step up? And he did. He only missed three passes. The last incompletion was his, I believe it was his last throw of the day. And that one was a long pass to Adam Krumholtz. So that was in non-garbage time. He was 18 of 20, but he was 18 of 21 overall, 180 yards, a touchdown. Would have had two if Jake Ferguson does not, you know, meet the demise from the turf monster or an invisible banana peel or whatever you want to say when he was down by the 5 yard line on that fourth down throw. But whenever he needed to make a throw, he made it. He was in rhythm. He was accurate. He had the arm strength, and overall, just that's what you want to see out of a Wisconsin quarterback. Now, I know there's the term game manager and whatnot. However, you saw what he can do. I mean, he was making those throws. I mean, though it was high, he talked about it after the game about how really, you know, he put the ball in a place where Quintez Cephus could make a play. And we've seen Cephus make those plays before with some acrobatics, putting the hand up there, tipping it to himself essentially, and getting in the end zone for that 19-yard touchdown for Wisconsin's second score of the afternoon. So it's Cohn for my takeaway in the passing game, stepping up where needed to and achieving that offensive balance to help move the chains where needed, and also just alleviating some of the, you know, pressure that the running game has. And you knew that Michigan State was going to try to do whatever it could to stop Taylor. And for the most part, they really did, with holding them to just over 3 yards per carry. But Cohn delivers hit what, 8 different receivers as well. So Jack Cohn is the big takeaway, where he stepped up where he needed to, and we'll see if he can in a couple of weeks. And obviously he has to keep it going this upcoming week against Illinois down in Champaign. Looking at the defense though, in your, you know, what is your takeaway from Jim Leonard's unit?
Yeah, you obviously the unit as a whole has been excellent this year. The forced shutout in 6 games, and it's amazing what they're able to do. And then, you know, just how many categories that they're leading in the country on the defensive end is really special. I guess the biggest takeaway I have is, when are we going to start to hear Zach Bond's name being mentioned, in All-American status? He's having an excellent year. I think, you know, maybe not the face of that defense, but I certainly, you know, that might go to Chris Orr, but I think he's certainly the most productive guy there, the biggest playmaker. He's third on the team in total tackles of 26, first in tackles for loss of 10.5, first in sacks with 6, first in quarterback hurries with 7, and obviously he had the interception return for a touchdown on Saturday. So I just think that, you know, with the way he's been performing, and obviously, you know, you and I follow Wisconsin very closely, it's tough to speak for the entire country, but I would imagine that, you know, if he has another couple good weeks, specifically, you know, on the big stage against Ohio State, that, you know, he needs to be mentioned when people talk about their All-America teams, later this fall.
Absolutely. It was we see him with that pick 6, and you see Bond just, again, didn't get a sack, but he's creating havoc in that backfield, and he should be considered with the way he is performing. But also, this unit as a whole, you kind of reference this too, like my takeaway is just they're performing at a level that is obviously far superior to what they were doing last year in 2018. They're more towards that 2017 squad. Might even eclipse that. Obviously, halfway through the season, I feel like they're at that point or a little higher. But with Ohio State coming up and then games against Iowa, Nebraska, even obviously Minnesota too. And, you know, they're going to take games day by day. That's just how they roll, and that's how they're going to work. But this team right now, this defense is operating at such a high level. This could go down. Maybe this is my takeaway. It might be one of the best defenses of all time at Wisconsin. I'll go that high. Maybe that's my bold prediction. Maybe that'll be in my 3-2-1 column coming up that I have to write later tonight. However, we'll see just what comes out of that. But right now, I think they're Zach Halperin from WOZN had a tweet earlier today talking about, and I'm going to bring it up right now, but you look at that stat and all the major stats for Wisconsin. You look at all that. Really, I mean, rush defense number one, pass defense number one, total defense number one, scoring defense first in the country, yards per play, pass efficiency defense, third down defense, as Zach Halperin points out in this tweet about 9 hours ago from when we recorded, Wisconsin's number one. And I remember Chris Orr talking about this after the game. I think it was last week, but mentioned, you know, what would make this team, you know, this defense different. Basically, it's, you know, from others, it's being top three in like all the categories. And right now they're at that point midway through the season. That's something that's interesting to note. And I think that, you know, against, I'm not impressed right now with Iowa's offense. Illinois' offense isn't great, even though they average about 31 points a game. Ohio State's going to be the big test right there, but all the other teams have certain flaws to them offensively that Wisconsin could capitalize on, and they could finish the regular season, you know, top three realistically. And I think this could be, as I mentioned, an all-time great defense for Wisconsin, and it goes from the players to the coaches, the coaching staff and preparation. We'll see what comes of it, but honestly, I'm impressed to see what they've done so far. Game balls. Let's go to game balls real quick. John, who do you have, and is it a player?
Yeah, I'm going with Paul Chryst. You know, one, you know, the game plan I thought was very good. And two, you know, going forward on fourth down, they're 8 of 8 now this season. And, you know, credit Paul Chryst for, you know, believing in that offense and knowing what's going to work, because, you know, the running joke over the last couple of years is, you know, if Wisconsin's got the ball on the opposing team's 30-yard line, it's fourth and one, you know, he's going to punt. And, you know, we saw some, you know, maybe not that exact situation, but some, you know, maybe head scratchers where, you know, Chryst didn't believe in that offense and, you know, they punted and, you know, they kick it in the end zone. So you gain, what, 10, 15 yards or so. I thought that, you know, he had an excellent game plan against Michigan State. You know, obviously, like we talked about, they contained Taylor to the best, you know, that they probably could have, but, you know, they found ways to win. So I love the confidence that he has on fourth down. You know, they converted a big one against Michigan State on Saturday. So my game ball goes to Paul Chryst. I think he's, you know, obviously had a great game on Saturday, but he's done an excellent job this year, I think. You know, my credit goes to, not credit, I should say game ball goes to Paul Chryst.
You know, I'm going to give mine to, it's hard because it was a real team effort, and that Chryst one's a good outside the box one. I'll go Cone. I think Cone really just what he did. And I called it out already with his day, his completion percentage, just the way he commanded the offense. There is trust between him and the players. You heard about that from Jonathan Taylor. AJ Taylor said he was executing his plays. I mean, you know, he showed, and there's been so many skeptics about Cone, and, you know, at points after last season, rightfully so, he did not set the world on fire, if you will, when he replaced Alex Hornibrook last year. But now he has that, you're seeing that ability shine, and there's a confidence and there's a trust and there's a poise. And Jonathan Taylor mentioned poise and leadership with him. I think Cone really stepped up in a huge manner, and we'll see if he can do that the rest of this season, especially in 2 weeks. But so far, you know, over, was it 75, 76% completion percentage? He's doing everything you want the Wisconsin quarterbacks to do. And we'll see what he does. And, you know, 8 touchdown passes, 1 interception. We'll see what he does at, you know, these last 6 games of the regular season and beyond. But Wisconsin's bowl eligible, and that offensive balance is a huge reason why. So, John, flipping gears, staying with football, but what about recruiting? Who visited, and what have we heard so far about those who have visited?
Yeah, I think we were kind of teasing it the last time, the last podcast that we recorded. But the big one, obviously, is the official visitor that they had on campus, Jaquavius Marks, the running back from Georgia, currently committed to Mississippi State, but Wisconsin had him on campus for an official visit this weekend. We're still working to get him on the line for a story, but from a couple of people that I talked to, I thought the visit went very well. You know, no, you know, indication that he's going to flip or he has flipped or anything like that. I just think that, you know, obviously Wisconsin's getting a chance to know him and, you know, getting him on campus helps. So, again, we'll keep kind of working to try to get him on the phone, you know, even later tonight into tomorrow. But, you know, he was a big guy on campus for, you know, really, which is, you know, the last big position of need in the 2020 class, that running back position. You know, Marks is just one of a few guys that, you know, are pretty intriguing names that Wisconsin's in the mix for right now. So it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, who takes that running back spot in this class, because outside of Marks, there's also, you know, two or three other pretty intriguing guys on Wisconsin's recruiting board right now at tailback.
John, looking at, there was a, from what I saw, a 2022 quarterback that you mentioned last week that was going to be in town, and you had a chance to talk with him, and seemed like he was able to take in a good chunk of Madison, including, if I'm not mistaken, the nitty gritty.
Yeah, I caught him this morning, Devin Brown, and he said, you know, I'm just finishing up at the nitty gritty for a birthday root beer. So yeah, I mean, that's certainly a spot to go. Jake, you know that you went to school at Wisconsin. I went to school at Wisconsin. I've had a couple birthday parties there. So yeah, it was, you know, his timeline, if you kind of look at it, Wisconsin offered in May. They got him on campus in June for camp, and he worked really closely with John Budmeyer, and then this was his first game day visit to Wisconsin. He's the only quarterback Wisconsin's offered so far in the 2022 class, and Wisconsin's his only offer at this point. I just think that Wisconsin has jumped out to such a quick and, you know, significant lead that they'll eventually get him. You know, he talked about, you know, he's thinking about a commitment. You know, it's something that he has thought about. You know, he didn't say it's going to be Wisconsin or anything like that, but I just think that Wisconsin is, you know, really identified him early in the process, and, you know, they've done a lot of legwork already. So, you know, you have to really like where the Badgers stand with Devin Brown at this time. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him, but, you know, they've had some pretty good success with identifying guys early. You know, Graham Mertz comes to mind, you know, Deacon Hill in the 2021 class, and now potentially Devin Brown, 2022 class.
Now, before we go to break, one more visitor, unofficial, in-state product, a 2022 kid like Brown, another big lineman in Joe Brunner.
Yeah, another guy that picked up an offer earlier this fall. You know, if it seems kind of odd that, you know, we're talking about kids that are just sophomores in high school, you know, that's kind of the accelerated, you know, timeline that we're working with now with, you know, the earlier signing period. But yeah, like you mentioned, Jake, an in-state kid from Whitefish Bay, really, really impressive kid that we've talked about him on the podcast before. You know, he started at Whitefish Bay as a freshman, and, you know, that freshman tape is awfully impressive. You know, he got a chance to talk to Joe Thomas on campus on Saturday. You know, Wisconsin, again, has jumped out to a pretty early lead with him. You know, Iowa and Northern Illinois are also there. So, you know, he's a guy I think that, you know, Wisconsin at some point will wrap up. He hasn't talked about, you know, a timetable for a commitment or anything like that. Things are still pretty early for him. But, you know, he's, you know, arguably maybe the top in-state player in the 2022 class. And I think that if he goes out and he camps and he really wants some other offers out there, that, you know, he's talented enough to get some offers from the top programs in the country. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he does, what his timeline is, if he wants to go camp anywhere this upcoming summer. But, you know, two really good linemen from inside the state in that 2022 class, and obviously Brunner, and then Carson Hinsman, another kid who has an offer from Wisconsin. So, you know, obviously, you talk to those guys, they're drawn to Wisconsin's tradition. They're drawn to being, you know, an in-state kid to potentially play for the Badgers. So we'll just, you know, two guys to certainly keep an eye on, and guys that I would expect, you know, Wisconsin at some point to be able to keep them inside the state.
And of course, now Wisconsin goes on the road for four of its final six games. It starts next Saturday, 11 a.m. kickoff, I believe on BTN, Illinois, and facing an Illini squad that made things interesting against Michigan. So that'll be something to watch and see if they can replicate that type of energy against a now, for those that don't know, Wisconsin's now number six in both the AP and coaches poll. So that will be of course, Wisconsin needs to continue that momentum as they progress through the regular season. And it's going to be interesting to see just how Wisconsin responds to another big cross-divisional win and need to take care of things within the Big Ten West. And that, of course, starts with Illinois next weekend. And folks, of course, Wisconsin got it done against Michigan State. There was a little, I think, surprise just how much Wisconsin dominated and took control of the game over Michigan State. It was a pretty easy cover. And this week it's Illinois, and my bookie is your place for even more action for the game. Not only your point spread and total, but my bookie offers in-game wagering, so track the action and movement as the game takes place. Game props, playoff odds, and national championship odds available too. Oh, and we can't forget the Heisman odds. And that just scratches the surface. We have teamed up with MyBookie this October to give you this great offer. Sign up at mybookie.ag and use promo code OVERTIME, and they'll match your first deposit. Again, promo code OVERTIME, and new users get their first deposit doubled. MyBookie.ag, you play, you win, you get paid. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk some highlights from the red-white scrimmage that I was able to check out and report from in the Kohl Center earlier today. So stay tuned. Give us a couple minutes. We'll be back on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, of course, powered by Overtime Media. Jake Kokorowski, senior writer, John McNamara, editor and recruiting analyst. And we're going to switch gears now. We talked football, but now it is time to discuss what happened on the court. And John, the Badgers, I was there for media day on Friday for the men's basketball team. Got a lot of audio, and hopefully you get a few stories up coming up this week. But really, too, on Sunday, we got the first chance to really see the team scrimmage back and forth in the red-white scrimmage inside the Kohl Center. Over 4,000 people came out to participate, to watch the two 10-minute halves. So the teams were split up, and essentially, they played, basically a full half altogether, but they split up into two 10-minute periods, and it's, first off, I'm surprised, and we talked about this on the podcast, how quickly time's gone, that come November, basketball, we're only a couple weeks away from basketball really turning up the heat, and now we're going to be talking basketball previews coming up, and of course, seeing what this Wisconsin Badgers football team can do, too. It's a pretty exciting time for Wisconsin athletics.
Yeah, definitely. There's, every year there's that kind of crossover between the two sports, and obviously with Wisconsin football doing so well, there's also some intrigue with the basketball team, and obviously I think recruiting has a lot to do with that, and they're riding a really hot stretch right now, so and then looking at this roster, it's different from last year, but I think that's there's some guys who Wisconsin fans are really eager to see, one being Kobe King, and another being Micah Potter, who again, really small sample size, really, really small, but, maybe the top performer from today's action, from, as much as you can take away from an inter squad scrimmage.
Absolutely. I think that's, you looked at the point totals altogether, 9 points, 8 rebounds. I tweeted it out as a sort of tongue in cheek joke, but he nearly had a double double in the 20 minutes. He played 16 minutes, 51 seconds. So he played nearly 17 minutes overall. And he stood out. He has an outside presence to him where he made one or two three-pointers. He could post up down low. He was a presence inside. He tallied the 8 rebounds, but he also, he was only 2 of 4 from the free throw line, and he called it out. If you guys go on BadgerBlitz.com and check out the video of Micah Potter. He talks about the free throws there, but he provides that. But also there's a hint of leadership to him too. And Aleem Fort spoke about that, and he's vocal too. So he is a huge addition to this team, but it's also a huge hit to what Wisconsin wants to accomplish in its first 10 games because of the news that we talked about last podcast, where really he cannot play. The NCAA denied that waiver to have him be eligible for the start of the 2019-2020 season. So that's something to watch just to see how Wisconsin compensates. And during media day, Nate Reavers talked about him not being able to get into foul trouble. You know, there's, I don't know how much Tyler Wall or Joe Hedstrom for that matter could work their way in more. I think Tyler Wall will have more of an ability to work his way in as a rotational player, not a starter right now, based off of what I've seen in, it's been in one practice and one scrimmage. So sample size is really small, but I think he, you know, coaches like him. Joe Krabbenhoff talked about just how he can, you know, he acts as like a sponge. But, you know, going back to Potter, his presence will be missed those first 10 games. And even if it's just a small sample size right now, you just saw some of the abilities and some of the just his characteristics that could make him one of those typical Wisconsin big men who can make shots on the inside, be a presence there, get some rebounds, but also shoot a little bit from the perimeter and keep teams honest, you know, in that factor. So I think that's big. One thing too, John, going on this too, going with this highlights, I know some people have called it out, but there's some poor shooting overall, turnovers. And, you know, I just want to tell people too, really, it's just a scrimmage. And I know the teams combined for, it was actually 15 for 55 overall, and three of 24 from 3-point range. It was not a good stat sheet for Wisconsin shooting wise, but you know, Greg Gard talked about it after the game where, you know, these guys didn't, you know, that's more towards the turnovers aspect of it where they committed 16 overall, but it's one of those things where this team, you know, he mentioned the team didn't necessarily play with each other a lot, you know, in terms of 5-on-5s really, and working up and down the court. And it's also just, you know, fans are there, they're in their uniforms, maybe. So there's some different factors, but he knows that they have to clean it up, but it wasn't necessarily a clean scrimmage, but yet I'm not too worried about it early on.
Right. I mean, they played 2 10-minute halves, and, you know, I think they mentioned that, you know, they've only been on the Kohl Center twice now, because the ice is always down on there. So again, I, you know, this is what happens when there's, you know, only so much going on, and, you know, the first thing that goes on, people want to read a lot into it. And, you know, that's fine. That's what being a fan's all about. But I don't think that, you know, Greg Gard should be really questioned about the shooting from Sunday. You know, the next time that, you know, the media gets a chance to talk to him and really scrutinize that. And it's a practice. And it's, you know, for some guys, their first time getting out there playing in front of some fans. So, you know, you're really just making sure no one gets hurt, I think. And, you know, if there are some positives, that's a good thing. So Micah Potter, and, you know, there's certainly stuff that, you know, you need to work on, like the shooting. So again, like you said, there's only so much you can take from a scrimmage. It is what it is. It's just, you know, 20 minutes of basketball in front of some fans. So I don't have any worries coming out of this scrimmage. And I also don't, you know, I'm not too high on anything that came out of it as well. It's just one practice of many that they're going to have before things get started here.
Right. We see this continued going forward, let's say during practices or whatnot, or if there's obviously the preseason game coming up down the road, if we see it against UW Lacrosse on November 1st, which again is only a few weeks away, then it might be time to start getting worried. You know, there might be some issues. I mean, St. Mary's is on at November 5th, that Tuesday, which is going to be on ESPNU at, you know, Sioux Falls. That'll be something to then maybe start talking about with this team. But just one practice. I have a feeling they'll change it. You know, teams have bad shooting performances early on. It's still very early in practice. Don't worry about that. But you know, one player that might have breakout potential, and granted, he had a rough day shooting, just 1 of 9 from the field, though he hit 9 of 10 from the free throw line, and he showed some versatility in terms of being not just one of those three-point shooters or attempting three-pointers like he's been known for. He was kind of more assertive in the post and down low in the lean forward. I liked what I saw. I know the stats don't show it, but he's going to be a big-time player that they need to really step up with Ethan Happ and Khalil Iverson now gone. And you're seeing some signs that that development is coming through, and it's needed in a big way.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if you know, you see Ford, you know, more as a four this year, or is he more of a three as a guy that's, you know, a taller guy who can shoot a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see, like you said, you know, maybe early in the year if you know, with the suspension to Potter, I shouldn't call it a suspension, it's not the right terminology there. You know, him not being able to play the first 10 days due to transfer, again, not a suspension. You know, will, you know, is Ford the guy that's going to be in the starting lineup as the four, maybe next to Nathan Reavers? You know, maybe you go Trice, Davison, Kobe King, Ford, and then Nate Reavers. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see how they use him. But, you know, he's a big guy, and they talked about the muscle that he's added this year. You know, from media day, I think he was a guy that, you know, the strength staff, you know, mentioned a coach guard that, you know, he was a guy that had a really good off season. So, he's, you know, a guy that we've seen flashes from, and then, you know, the injury last year, I think, derailed him. You know, you want to definitely see more consistency. But now, you know, redshirt junior, you know, it's kind of his time to go if he's going to make a run here at Wisconsin and do some good things.
I called this out during media day where, you know, in the observations after the first practice, that I feel like some of the guys are leaner. Like Nate Reavers is down from 240 pounds that he was listed on that he played last season, but down to about, he said he likes to be around 230, 235 tops. So he looks a little leaner, but he still feels comfortable that he can make an impact in the post. Now, he didn't have a great day either. He was, I believe, 0 of 8 from the field, and yeah, 0 of 4 from 3-point range. He had 4 rebounds and an assist, but really, he, you know, he will be needed. You know, I think he was one of my breakout players for this season with Hap gone, with Iverson gone, that he's going to need to step up with the rebounds. He's going to need to step up. You saw the blocking potential last year in terms of swatting away shots. He will be called upon to do that, but also stay out of foul trouble, especially those first 10 games of the year. So it should be interesting to see if teams actually attack him early on, but this, again, Kobe King too, he likes to be around the 203 to 200, you know, 205 range. Just with that muscle, he looks like they're still maintaining their strength. They're getting stronger. It's just they're being a little bit more lean. And I feel that way with Aleem Ford, where I thought he looked pretty built last year. I think he looks, I'll have to find a picture, but he just feels trimmer. But you see the strength there, and you're starting to see a little bit more confidence, I think, in the post, and, you know, down low. And that will be a huge, huge development in his game going forward for Wisconsin, and not being just a long distance shooter. So, of course, fans, you guys check out BadgerBlitz.com. Going forward, whenever they have practices open to the media, I will do my best to be there in between whatever we got going on with football, which right now is so busy. And we'll, of course, check back in BadgerBlitz.com for all your Wisconsin Badgers news from the recruiting trail, on the field, and near the rim. But John, before we let people go, what should people expect this week coming out of our site?
Yeah, you know, a lot of Michigan State, a lot of Illinois coverage coming up here. You know, we'll certainly have some more recruiting stuff. There's a few more guys that I was able to talk to tonight, so we'll roll some of those stories out. And you know, when you're in the thick of the season, these weeks go very quickly. So you know, we have a lot of just, you know, consistent articles that you've seen throughout the year, throughout the fall, and we certainly hope you guys enjoy those, and those will continue to roll out. So, you know, like you said, Jake, with basketball starting up, it's a really busy time. It's a great part to great time to give our website a try with two, you know, two big time sports going on, and then recruiting going on every single day of the year. So if you've been curious about giving us a shot, now's a great time to let us earn your business.
Absolutely. Not only do you get access when you become a member of BadgerBlitz.com. You get all our, of course, our free content, but also our premium content. And John's been over the past, you know, gosh, for so many years, providing great content and for about visitors, reactions, coaches' responses. This is what, you know, it's our bread and butter here on BadgerBlitz.com. So give us a try there, because not only do you get the premium content on BadgerBlitz.com, but for all Rivals articles. So coming up for Illinois, you'll have articles from our Illinois site, Ohio State, one of our bigger sites. You'll get access to the premium content there. Plus, you get exclusive access to the Badgers Den, which is our subscribers den. A lot of good rumblings, a lot of good talk there. John and I have frequent conversations. Our mailbag questions come from our subscribers. We try to answer them to the best of our abilities. So again, great time to check us out. If you're looking for a holiday present coming up early, hey, that's a great idea there. Give us a shot, BadgerBlitz.com there. And then, of course, you can find us on Facebook, Wisconsin Badgers, on BadgerBlitz.com, for Twitter, at McNamara Rivals, for John, for me, at Jake Coco, K-O-C-O, and the official Badger Blitz Twitter account, that's at Badger_Blitz. Going forward, too, with this podcast, find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, and also on The Score in Appleton. That is The Score WI. Big thanks to BJ DeGroot for and Brian Butch for making that happen up there in, was it Northeast Wisconsin? Like, yeah, up near Appleton, Green Bay. Tons of great stuff. I love talking with those guys pretty much every other week or every week on The Score there. So big thanks to them for putting our podcast up on their website. So, and of course, click subscribe. Why? Because this is a free podcast, but every time you have an opportunity to go on your iPad, your phone, your laptop, whatever you listen to your podcast from those different avenues I mentioned earlier, whenever those get uploaded, they're right to those devices. So make sure you do that. And also, hey, we absolutely love feedback. We'd love 5-star reviews. Why? Quite frankly, it helps us boost our popularity and helps us reach more of an audience. But we also like genuine feedback. Let us know how we're doing. Can we improve anyway? Can we make this even better than what it is right now? And we've seen the reviews recently. We think we're doing a good job, but hey, let us know. Let us know what we can do to do better here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast. So thank you all again. We'll talk probably Thursday night as Wisconsin prepares for Illinois. We'll talk injury reports. We'll have an Illinois team preview. We'll talk if any recruiting news breaks. And of course, if there's any basketball stuff going on too, we'll do our best to deliver it all to you here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.